Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The Labor Department reported today that consumer prices rose a full percentage point in September, largely because of higher food prices, and this means the country is still suffering double-digit inflation, an annual rate right now of 12.7%. This is the government's last major economic report before the election, and it's not good news for President Carter. No one will be reading the CPI figures more closely than Ronald Reagan because, as we hear from Stephanie Shelton, the economy is the subject that commands his attention today.
Reagan will be concentrating on campaigning today, but through television, not rallies. The subject of the day is economics, and the lessons will go both ways. This morning, former Federal Reserve Board Chairman Arthur Burns will be briefing Reagan at his Virginia estate as part of the preparations for Tuesday's debate. Then Reagan will tape another half-hour paid television speech. The object, says his domestic affairs advisor Martin Anderson, to present the candidate's economic program in a form that will be understandable to the average viewer. Reagan's economic speech in Chicago last month, Anderson points out, was meant for economists and financial reporters. And this speech, says Anderson, will emphasize the comprehensive nature of Reagan's economic plan, that the whole will not work without all of its parts. Reagan and his advisors were still drafting the speech as the campaign plane returned to Washington last night from a rally in eastern Tennessee. Stephanie Shelton, CBS News, with the Reagan campaign in Washington.
President Carter leaves Washington this afternoon for another campaign swing. He'll make appearances today in New Jersey and Michigan, tomorrow in Ohio. Independent candidate John Anderson is campaigning in New York State, and Eric Engberg tells us about him.
John Anderson hopes this trip to New York, where he attended a Liberal Party dinner last night, will prevent further desertions by members of the small but active Liberal Party. He is that party's official candidate on the New York ballot. Some liberals have called recently on fellow members to forget about Anderson as a lost cause and vote for President Carter instead. But party leaders, in welcoming Anderson to Buffalo, say they remain in his corner and do not expect widespread defections. In his speech, the independent candidate repeated his call on President Carter to reveal details of any offers he has made to Iran in return for the freeing of the American hostages. Anderson's staff is now working without pay so all available funds can go for advertising in the final days of the campaign. Anderson will get some free time on television next week. A company which broadcasts news on cable television has invited him to answer the same questions posed to Reagan and Carter in their Tuesday night debate, which Anderson was excluded from by the League of Women Voters. Eric Engberg, CBS News, Buffalo.
After he leaves Buffalo today, Anderson will make appearances in Massachusetts and Connecticut, both of them states where some polls have indicated he's likely to do well on November 4th. The Soviet Union today has a new premier, 75-year-old Nikolai Tikhonov, succeeding his former boss, 76-year-old Alexei Kosygin, who resigned yesterday because of poor health. CBS News Moscow correspondent Gordon Joselov examines the probable impact.
While Kosygin's resignation is likely to have little effect on Soviet domestic or foreign policy, it does have importance for the Soviet Union's aging leadership. The way has now been cleared for retirement from office while still in political favor. At first glance, this may not seem like much, but in the Soviet Union, where there are no set rules for leadership changes, no set terms of office, it is highly significant. Kosygin is the first premier in the nation's history who did not either die in office or have his career cut short by a political purge. If Kosygin can do it, others can too, perhaps even Leonid Brezhnev himself. The 73-year-old Brezhnev has had his health problems in the past, and while he's currently looking better than he has in years, his health is bound to catch up with him someday. When that time comes, voluntary resignation on health grounds, while still in political favor, will now be possible, thanks to the precedent set by Alexei Kosygin. Gordon Joselov, CBS News, Moscow.
This is the 356th day of the hostage crisis, and United States officials, while slightly encouraged by some recent statements out of Iran, declined to raise hopes that it may be ended shortly. Dan Raviv at our listening post in London says Tehran Radio is silent on the matter.
Brian? Broadcasts from Tehran are ignoring the hostage issue, reflecting the official position that there's nothing to say until Iran's parliament meets on Sunday to discuss the issue. But after the big Friday prayers in Tehran, a member of the Supreme Defense Council, which is supervising the war against Iraq, reportedly rejected any deal involving release of the 52 Americans in exchange for military assistance from the United States. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei was speaking to a rally at Tehran University, and the French news agency quotes him as saying that Iran had not and would not ask the U.S. for any aid in the war. The government radio station did carry a few reports on the latest combat, saying hand-to-hand fighting continued in the major port city, Khorramshahr. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
Iraq now claims officially that its forces have seized every yard of Khorramshahr. Today's military communique issued in Baghdad says the Iraqi flag has been raised over the government house in Khorramshahr, and it calls it Iraq's greatest victory of the war. Spain today grieves for the victims of yesterday's explosion at an elementary school. William Lyon reports from Madrid.
With all Spanish elementary and secondary schools closed for a day of mourning, services will be held later today for the 48 children and 3 adults killed in an explosion at a school in northern Spain. Authorities now say the blast was caused when a spark from a plumber's torch ignited gas escaping from a deposit tank. The effect was devastating. Some children died immediately, while others were buried under tons of rubble, where they screamed desperately for help. Some parents tried to dig through the wreckage with their bare hands, then carried lifeless bodies through the streets to their homes. While Queen Sophia quickly flew to the scene, there was little she could do to comfort the survivors. It was the third recent disaster involving school children in Spain. At Christmas time in Salamanca 2 years ago, 28 children were killed when a train smashed into their school bus. And the following Easter week, another 44 students died when their bus ran off the road during a holiday excursion. William Lyon for CBS News, Madrid.
Many children were injured in yesterday's tragedy, and about 30 of them remain in hospitals. Yesterday morning, a railroad embankment collapsed in California's San Joaquin Valley. And Pat Davis of CBS radio affiliate KFBK reports that floodwaters have inundated 6,000 acres of Delta farmland south of Sacramento.
Officials estimate the floodwaters have caused $3 million in crop losses, bringing the total damages since floodwaters began in September to over $8 million. The flood has threatened water supplies to more than 1 million residents of the San Francisco Bay Area. The embankment gave way as a 44-car freight crawled along the flood-weakened embankment, which had acted as a dam since a break in a nearby dike flooded the area. Authorities say they will begin an immediate effort today to pump out the flooded area and repair the embankment. Governor Brown has asked President Carter to declare the flooded farmland a disaster area. Pat Davis for CBS News, Sacramento.
This country's chief trade negotiator, Ruben Askew, left Tokyo for home today as scheduled. But Ruth Dunning reports that working-level talks are continuing in Tokyo, longer than expected, on American demands for greater access to Japan's lucrative cigarette market.
U.S. officials said some progress was being made toward obtaining lower tariffs for tobacco products exported to Japan. The present Japanese tariff on American cigarettes is 90%, and that means U.S. brands are priced far higher than Japanese-made cigarettes. One U.S. official said the Japanese side has informally agreed to lower the tariff to 40%, but the stumbling block appears to be retail prices and markups. All cigarette and tobacco products are handled by the government's tobacco monopoly, with the income going to the national government. All prices are fixed by the monopoly organization. The chief American negotiator met Prime Minister Suzuki just before leaving Tokyo. Askew said the tobacco tariff issue needs immediate settlement so trade negotiators can turn to other bilateral trade problems. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
The dollar reached its highest point in Tokyo today in almost a month, closing at around 212.5 yen. It's also advancing on all the major European markets except London, where it fell to its lowest point in nearly 7 years. The pound is now quoted at just a bit less than $2.46. The price of gold is again on the downside. It was fixed in London this morning at $628 an ounce, off around $7.